Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Millicent St. Clair, and
I'm Donna Kelsick,
and we are
Good People.
Our sponsor is the Ligmo Institute, a training company that focuses on professional and personal development. And our producers are Dana Barrett and Elizabeth Gordon. Good People focuses on the positive and powerful attributes necessary for success and what employers are looking for in today's business market. Also, what employees can do to stand out from the crowd.
Okay, and today our guest is Lasagna Berry, and her company is McPherson Berry. She's going to tell us a little bit more about her expertise in the recruiting area. Welcome, Lasagna.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me. Well, let me tell you a little bit about McPherson Berry & Associates. We are a human capital management firm, so we help you secure your investment in human capital. That's everything from performance management to organizational development to helping you get the right people on board and work the wrong ones out.
That sounds great.
Well, let's talk about that human capital for just a minute, because actually the wealth of our nation is our people, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so let's expound on that human capital just a little bit more for me, can you?
Yes, actually, the people that you have that work for you are the ones who actually make your business what it is. Yes, we use technology, but the core of our business is about people. Either we're providing a product to people or service, so we need the right people in order to do that. Organizations are now realizing, and not that they did before, but there's more emphasis on employee engagement, which goes to making sure that you have the right people on board doing the right job and making sure they're helping you to meet your bottom line.
Yes. And we're interdependent in such an amazing and interesting way. And it's important for employers to invest in their human capital or their employees so that they can get a return on that investment, as you said.
Right. And that's one of the things that we help them with. What is it that you already have? Are you developing the people that you have to get what you need? Sometimes we need to bring different people on board, but guess what? Sometimes we have the key jewels right there on our team, but what have we done to help them be the best that they can be?
Mm-hmm.
That's so true, because most companies don't realize the assets that they have and the people that they have currently on board, and that's so important today. So I'm sure that you've encountered that in your travels along the way, dealing with lots of companies. Can you tell us any stories about how companies are actually treating their assets today?
Well, actually, you can see the gamut at this time. You have some companies who are doing it right, and you have some that are doing it wrong. I'll talk a little bit briefly about some of the things that we've experienced at what clients that we've worked with to help them improve their approach with their employees. As you know, the economic times puts unrest with the company as well as their employees. So the key thing that we have to focus on is making sure that we are creating a culture of engagement. We have to make sure our employees understand that they are a value to us and they're an asset, as well as the fact that we're an asset to them. You know, as far as the company being an asset to the employees, everyone is in business to stay in business, and the employees are there to make money, as well as provide for their family. So it's a win-win for both. And making sure that we keep that balance as much as we can and not get it out of order. So we have some companies that we work with to help them to realize different ways that they can improve their engagement. What we found is that if they spend the time kind of developing their people, finding out where their skill gaps are, because as companies are looking and researching and how they can be better providers or be key at what they provide, they got to make sure that people are going in the same direction.
Okay, that sounds good. So in terms of identifying those attributes in the employees, the skill sets that they need, as you go through the whole recruiting process, can you tell me a little bit about how you determine when those characteristics on paper actually are in balance with or in alignment with what you see in the actual person?
Yeah, with recruiting right now, we have to be very particular and very specific as to what we need for the client. So the first step of that is really understanding what you're looking for in that position. So it begins before you start looking for candidates. Organizations sit back, they look, what is it that we need for them? What are the key competencies that we want that person to have? Then look at the responsibilities that they'll be responsible for and what are the end results that we want them to produce. Once we have a clear understanding of the roadmap of the position, then we're ready to start looking for candidates. So we have to readjust our approach to finding the right candidate. So we had to take a thorough look at the position and not just going by a job description and thinking that's that. Because what we found with some of the clients that we work with, their job descriptions were outdated. Or the job descriptions did not align with their business strategy.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. Now, do you help them readjust or reformat those kind of job descriptions?
Yes, and doing job analysis and making sure that what they're requesting the person to do is really aligning the job description.
Okay.
And there's not a conflict going on there.
Okay.
So we have clear what we're expecting the person to do, not one thing on paper, and then when they get there, it's different.
Because go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's one of the things as far as retention that becomes a problem. When there's a mismatch once they get in, what they thought they were going to be doing as opposed to what they were actually doing did not match.
Gotcha. So there's got to be some congruency there.
Correct.
Now I want to back up a little bit and talk about culture, because you mentioned culture. And inside of the training that we do at LIGMO Institute, it's really about, we talk about a culture, the LIGMO culture, which is really about being our best selves and bringing out the best in others. Because if we're not being our best selves, what are we doing?
Right.
And if we're not bringing out the best in others, what are we doing?
Right.
So those are questions that we pose, and we talk about that. It's based on the work of something called positive normative culture, where positivity and respect are the norm in the workplace. So when you talk about a culture of engagement, can you share a little bit more with me about that?
Well, when you talk about the engagement, and you're right on when you're saying what the person is bringing to the table every day as an individual.
Yes.
And what we look at is how the person's personal values align with the business value.
Mm.
So yeah. Once someone really understands how they are as a person, and that's when you get into the behavior.
Yes.
And most of the personality. But then going back to beliefs and values, what are they? Getting the person to look at what their values are, and then can we align those with the business values, which
yes.
drives the culture.
But you know, most people don't even think about their own personal values or their own mission statement. What is the mission statement of the business and the organization? What is my personal mission statement? And are those aligned? Because if I'm a mismatch for the company, you know, it's how long am I going to be there? And then, so we know that there's a high employee turnover.
Yeah, and I was going to say that is also one of the key things when we're doing our management and supervisory training, is that managers are ensuring that they're doing that in every aspect of the business, and even with the goals and things that they set. As things come down, things or opportunities or strategies or visions come from the executive level, we have to make sure it's at every level, that every department understands how they tie in to that vision. And the key component of that is the management team. Because they're the ones that know the individual employees, or should know them, and have developed a relationship with them where they can pull out and show them how each individual person on their team contributes to that vision.
And that's important, is communicating that company vision. I've been in corporate 25 years or more, and the one thing that I always found was lacking is communicating that company vision down to the lower level. So you know, how do you help the employer to understand that that's a vital key to getting the performance that they're looking for?
You know, that key word is called ROI.
Yeah.
When they can see the return on the investment,
sure.
There you go.
Then that's when you have their ears.
There you go.
If you want more, you want to increase productivity, you want to increase performance, you want to increase your bottom line, it goes back to the core.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that has to do with investing in your people.
Correct.
So that they can understand and be committed to that mission and that vision and give it their best every day.
Right.
Yes. Be excited about coming to work.
And you know, education brings you a certain level, but you don't know the culture of the organization until you get into the organization.
That's so true.
And that's why part of that is the onboarding process, to help them understand what the culture of the organization is.
Okay.
So when they first get there, they understand. When this new employee gets there, they understand or have a better understanding of how they will function in this new organization.
So is that part of the process that you have to actually help the employer help that potential new employee to understand the culture of the company? Is that part of the process?
Right. And that's the thing. We spend time with the company that we're going to be recruiting for.
Okay.
We need to understand how they operate, how they do things. That's pretty much what the culture
sure,
is.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And again, when I was talking about investigating and seeing what is it that they're expecting out of their candidate,
right.
They're quick to pass over a job request, but then the job request doesn't tell all the details.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to spend time with the company to find out how can you provide them the best candidate. Because the key thing you don't want is a whole lot of turnover.
Definitely, because that's costly.
It is very costly.
Definitely.
And so that's how we've been able to capsize. And when we are doing recruiting for our clients, is making sure that we do it right the first time. And we call it our fit.
Okay. So that's one of the benefits of an employer using a recruiting firm. Are there other benefits that you can tell us a little bit about that, you know, make it attractive for an employer to utilize a recruiting firm?
Well, there's two other key reasons why they should. One is because we're out in the industry probably a little bit more than their internal team. And then the other part of that is their internal team probably doesn't necessarily have the capacity to do it.
Okay.
So usually what we're doing is helping them with capacity building as far as helping them getting a large number of people on board at a time.
Okay.
And then also because we're out in the industry and we're keeping up with what's going on, the best practices and what the skill developments are need, or where the future is going in the industry.
Okay.
And keeping in contact even with the colleges and universities, as well as through social media. Because, you know, you have your job fairs at the universities, but, you know, social media, you can also see and hear what's going on. And let's be honest, some organizations are still having challenges as to how much social media they want involved in their organization.
Yes.
Which
yes.
limits their even their recruiters to some degree.
Okay, and that's something we wanted to touch on as well, the social media. How has it impacted the whole recruiting industry, the negatives and the positives?
I can say technology, period, has impacted the recruiting industry. And it's worked good for the most part. It's been a good thing. At least you have access to the clients. It's definitely cut down on the costs with technology and social media. But then you have the challenges of still being overwhelmed with the number of candidates that are brought your way. And that's why you have to be proactive and do more passive candidate searches rather than just doing the job boards and getting the candidates from there.
Okay. And when you say passive, define that for us.
The passive candidates are the one that are probably been in the workforce for with the organization for a period of time, and they may not be aggressively looking for an employment.
Okay.
But they are skilled, they're knowledgeable, they're true assets. And those are the kind of candidates that you probably want to go after to see if there's a particular skills that's needed in another organization. They want ready-made talent that could possibly come in with little to, you know, minimum training.
Right.
But understand what's going on.
Right. So hit the ground running.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. That's
and those are not the candidates you can also always find out on the job boards because they're not looking because they've been employed and they're happy.
Exactly.
So you have to be a little bit more aggressive, or at least we think that they're happy.
But there are so many people right now that are out of work that are skilled and looking but are having trouble. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because, one, the whole job search has changed. Mm-hmm. Before, you could probably post for a job, find a job, would have been easy. But now, because of the number of people who are out of work, it makes it challenging.
Right.
And that's why we do a workshop twice a week for people who are searching for jobs. And we give them tips and understanding as to what they can do to make themselves stand out. And the key thing here is that you have to stand out. You cannot stand behind job boards. You cannot stand behind just applying online. You're going to have to go the extra mile and do more networking, spending more time in your industry. I tell them all the time, when are you going to association meetings? How are you keeping yourself abreast of what's going on in the industry? You can't, you know, you need to be out there as much as possible. It's not always just going to the job fairs. And then the other key thing that technology has even helped those who are seeking jobs, like LinkedIn, are you connected through other people that you've either worked with in the past, in association with? Because those are the areas or the places where they're quicker to post the jobs to feed into their network to see if they can get candidates that by word of mouth, which carry a little bit more weight than someone who's not known by anybody.
Yeah.
So working your network is very important if you're seeking a job right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good. Are there any other trainings that you do to help prepare the candidates so that they actually reflect all the characteristics of good people that the employer is looking for?
Well, one of the workshops that we do is pretty much focusing on interviewing techniques and interviewing skills.
Okay.
Some people have been in the workforce for a long period of time and, you know, they're devastated that they are now unemployed and they have not interviewed in a long while. So the way interviews are done have changed over the years.
Okay.
They're more behavioral type interviews.
Yes, definitely.
So they want to know what you've done in the past because that's a good indicator of what you're going to do in the future.
Right.
And they're used to hearing a little bit more about, okay, tell me about yourself. What are some of your skills?
Right.
But now this, the whole interviewing process is more in depth.
Okay.
So the better prepared they are before they get to the interview, the better they will succeed when they get to the interview.
Sure.
So it's that preparation that has to happen. So you need to understand what is it that the company is looking for, researching the company, making sure that you even go into that annual report, see where their trends are. How can you bring to them a key value? Because it's all about what is it that you're going to bring. How can you have an impact on their organization?
I get that. I want to talk to you a little bit about service, LaSonya, because from my perspective, everything in life is service, whether you're the used car salesman or whether you're the telephone operator or the gas station attendant. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything actually is about service. And so I want to ask you your opinion about that in terms of cultivating and creating a culture where people understand that no matter what we do, we are serving others, and the need for not just customer service training in the traditional sense, but what can we do to help people really understand that no matter what capacity you operate in, it's really one of service.
Right. And I agree. And I think, Millicent, that goes back to the values.
Yes.
Understanding the value that they bring to the table and the value that they are adding to the company as well as the company is putting into them.
Mm.
They have to understand the connection, because you're absolutely correct. You could have customer service training, but if they do not understand what value they're bringing and how everything that they do impacts that company and really impacts them. They're there to provide a service. They're working on in a position. They're providing a service. And everything that they're doing is going to be impacting that company. And they just need to understand that, how much of an impact they have. And that goes back to helping them to understand how much value they bring to an organization. I think there is concerns about being devalued as an employee. They're not considered a value. So I think we have to change that mindset.
Yes.
Both for the employers.
Yes.
As well as the employees.
Mm-hmm.
This is a twofold effort.
Do you think some employees have a grandiose sense of who they are and what they're bringing to the table that's a little unrealistic sometimes?
You mean as far as the employee or the?
The employees.
Yes. And then that kind of goes along with understanding the company, where they're working and what they're bringing.
Mm-hmm.
You have a personal brand.
Yes.
And then there's a company brand.
Mm.
So do the two align?
That's the question.
You may see yourself as one way.
Thebomb.com, right?
Exactly. And are you misrepresenting your brand?
Right.
Exactly. Or are you really a true brand? Are you imitating a brand?
Mm.
So that's one of the things that needs to be looked at.
Right. How authentic are you?
Correct.
In representing what the company wants you to represent?
You know, I have this notion that all employment is self-employment, and that if you agree to go to work for an employer at a certain rate of pay for so many hours a day, that's a typical employer agreement. We get that. But no matter what, if you don't show up, you don't get paid. No different from us as entrepreneurs that have to go out and earn and work and earn it. And it's the same thing, actually. And the question is always, how much value are you bringing each and every day to earn that fixed rate of pay, or even something more than that? Because we know that when we stand out from a good crowd, then, you know, we can increase our earnings.
Right.
So can you talk about that? All employment is self-employment, and the mindset that is required for employees to understand that you've got to go above and beyond in everything that you do these days.
Right. That goes along with that shift that I was explaining that's happening, and back to the ROI. So when they get to that interview,
yes,
they have to be able to sell what can they offer as a return on investment.
Yes.
They are investing in the employee with a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
What are they getting out of it?
And
that's what they need to sell in that interview. What will they be getting out of you as a candidate?
Right. What are you bringing to the table?
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. And that's from the employer's perspective.
Right. So in the workshops and things that we're doing for individuals who are looking for employment, those are some of the things that we stress.
Okay. Now let's talk about the economy and when it turns around, because, you know, there's highs and lows, there's ups and downs, and it's going to come back. So what is your forecast for when things turn around?
Well, I'll say for my company, it'll be an even greater thing because the companies may not see it as that way, but it'll be a great thing for small businesses who are working in the HR in the recruiting field. Because unfortunately, like I stated, there's the companies who are doing the right things, and then there are the companies that are not doing the right things. So it's already been predicted that when the economy turns around, there's going to be a lot of shuffling going on. Mm. So you're going to have some people who are going to decide they stayed with the company that may now decide because of maybe how the dynamics that happened within the company during the downturn, they no longer want to work there.
Wow.
So they want to seek what are their other options.
I see.
Which means there will be turnover.
Yeah. Mm.
So even though it's an employer's market right now, and we're all talking a lot in this conversation about how employees need to prove themselves and what they need to bring to the table, the employers need to be treating them well to retain them, because when it does turn around and there's more opportunities, those passive job seekers, as you call them, are going to start being recruited. They're going to leave because if they weren't treated well, if they didn't feel a sense of belonging
and value
and all that, they're out of there.
Keyword, retention and engagement. Those two words are what's going to really be driving the changes that are happening.
Interesting.
So companies who are taking the time now and really getting their employees engaged, who are investing in their employees, who are spending the time making sure that they are taken care of as well as the company's taken care of, they have less probably to be concerned with. But those who probably taken the eyes off of their employees and have not focused on employee engagement, who have not focused on retention strategy, and you'll be surprised at some organizations that are really not focused on that. And then some of them rightfully so, because they feel that they have to keep the doors open.
Yes.
Which is fine, but at the same time, that's why it's critical to give your HR team the support that they need to focus on that. HR having a seat at the table. We're understanding now how more ROI that we can get out of HR than what we have before.
Yes, indeed. So it's being, you know, it's not minimized
right.
as yet. Oh, it's just HR.
Supporting that VP of HR,
yes.
that director of HR to go back so they can have, one, the funding that they need to put in place either in the systems, HR systems, as well as the HR from the organizational development standpoint. Because when you take your eye off of that, you're taking your eye off of one of your key assets.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure. I want to just ask you about the overwhelm that employers might feel. You post for a job, and then you get 1,000 applications and resumes in.
Yeah.
My God. Can you imagine that?
<Yeah. laughs>
It's like,
it happens.
Talk about
it
overwhelm.
Happens.
And then what?
Well, actually, the recruiters are challenged with the number of applications and resumes that they receive.
Sure.
And yes, we do depend on technology to help us to get to the keyword search to find out and get those core set of resumes or the core candidates that we want to take to the next level.
Mm.
So the first thing is the searching and weeding out process,
okay.
based on keywords.
Screening.
And then there's a screening that takes place that's a little bit more manual to make sure that we didn't miss anything. And then we look at the next level as to how we can do process of elimination. So you might have the first round of interviews, doing additional assessments, and then narrowing it down from there. But the key thing is to have a structured recruiting and interviewing process.
Yes.
The more structured that process is, the more legal it is.
Mm, that's important.
Yes. And the more effective you will be at getting the right candidate.
Got that.
Is that because you're asking the same questions, that kind of thing, so that you're able to compare apples to apples?
That is correct.
Okay.
Right.
A standardized uniform
Right.
set of questions.
Right. So you have the same set of questions. You can have the same person that's doing the interviewing, whether it be a one-on-one or what they do now is a lot of panel interviews. So you can get different views and different questions that are asked when it comes to the interviewing. But the key thing is to be consistent. Same questions, same approach, same strategy.
Gotcha. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's never a dull moment in the HR industry.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my gosh, yes. So tell us a little bit more about your company. So let's give you an opportunity to plug what you're doing.
Yes. And like I said, we're a human capital management firm, and we don't just go and look at exactly just selling products. We provide solutions. Mm-hmm. So we're key at going in and assessing an organization, and we like to call it our engineering strategy, because I'm also an engineer, and people go, wow, you're an HR person and an engineer?
How about
yes.
That? Yeah.
Great combination, right?
So we have our process that we use to go in and analyze an organization to see where we can improve performance, where can we improve results, and be an asset as a partner to the organization to help them either build capacity, or we become one of their HR partners where they outsource projects to us
yes.
to help them with building their capabilities.
How about that? So top three challenges that employers are facing these days. So finding good people.
Finding good people. The next challenge is employee engagement.
Yes.
Making sure the ones that they have and improving retention in that area. And then just staying on top of their industry. What kind of employees will they need in the future? And making sure that they're aligning these employees up with their strategies.
Does that also involve training the people they currently have in new fields, in new technologies?
Oh, most definitely. There are skill gaps out there.
Okay.
There really are. And then so organizations can look at their current workforce, look at the skill gaps and start preparing now and what they're going to need for the future. Not one of our candidates, but there's a case study I was just reading. That's what Toyota was doing. Mm-hmm. Instead of laying off, what they did was look at what they were going to need in the future. And they spent that time developing those employees.
Staff
so they are better prepared now as things start to increase and improve. They're ready to execute. So that's a good example of a company who's realized now is the time to invest in the people,
right.
in the technology, in the strategy on what it's going to take for them to be one of the number one in automotive industry.
Using foresight.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes, foresight, insight, and hindsight. Yes.
There you go.
To make
staff development in order to retain the people is, I would think, is very critical.
And, right.
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure having you here with us today. Give us your phone number and your website.
Yes, our website is McPherson Berry. That's McPhersonBerry.com. 1-800-325-5269. So if you are serious about investing in your human capital, contact McPherson Berry and Associates.
Yeah, now give me that tagline again.
We help you secure your investment in human capital.
And so your clients, though, are the companies, right? It's not employees that are contacting you. It's the companies that want to find those employees that are contacting you.
Actually, it's both.
Both. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. All right. So everybody call.
Yes.
Everybody.
We're looking for a job, or we have some positions, and we need you to help us fill them.
Got it.
How about that? And to augment companies and organizations like yours, we provide training, soft skills training, communication, conflict resolution, team building, how to get along with others inside the workplace. Again, and that goes back to being your best self and bringing out the best in others. So this was wonderful. We again want to thank you for joining us and to sharing.
Oh, thank you for having
your
me.
Your wisdom.
Definitely.
Yes. And thanks, Atlanta, for tuning in to another edition of
Good People.